How you boys doing this morning? Yeah. Are there any third requests?
Brother David.
Brother David? Any more? Yeah.
Church in Mexico.
The church in Mexico? Yeah. Let's go ahead and pray, yeah? Lord, we thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for this time together. We ask that you be with those around the world that are meeting this morning, Lord. Those that are seeking. We ask that you be with David, Lord, help to heal him. We ask that you be with those around the world that are seeking, Lord. Thank you again, Lord, for this time together. Okay, so we're learning about Judith, right? So what happened in the last chapter? Does anybody remember?
She went out to the city gate. She got her plan ready and went out to the city gate.
Was that last chapter? What chapter did we read last week? It was chapter 9, right? Yeah. So So the Assyrians have conquered the land, right? And now that they came to Jerusalem, or they came to Israel, and now the Assyrians they got their water from a spring from the mountain, right? That's where they got their water from, the Israelites. So the Assyrians have surrounded the city where the Israelites can go in and out, and they put guards on the spring of water so there's no water in the city and the people are very thirsty. Okay, then the people went to the ruler of the city and said, "We're going to die thirst. You have to help us. We have to do something." And the leaders of Israel, which would have been their priests, for lack of a better word, have decided that they are going to they're going to give 5 days for God to do something, and then if God doesn't do anything, they're going to surrender to the Assyrians. Okay, Judith heard this, and she went to the priests, the leaders of the city, and she told them that you made a mistake, that you shouldn't test God like this, that God can either deliver us or not deliver us, but we shouldn't treat him like we're negotiating with a man, right? So now, she's decided that she's going to pray to God. So she prays to God and she asks God to help her to deliver her. And then she met with the people, or she's going to meet with the people, and we're going to find out what her plan is, or how she's going to deliver Israel from the Assyrians, right? So, if there's any questions on that? Yeah? So, why are the people in distress? Why are the people worried?
Because they don't have water.
How long can you live without water? About 3 or 4 days. Now, I'm sure that they have extra water, probably for the horses, probably for bathing, that they don't drink. So they do have more water than probably 3 or 4 days. But it's a very dire situation because they're going to have to get water quickly or everything's going to die. The animals are going to start dying, and the people are going to start dying, so they have to have water, right? Okay. So Judith begins to execute her plan. Check again. When she has ceased crying to God of Israel. So she went and she cried to God of Israel to help her, right? And had completed all her words, she arose from where she had prostrated herself and summoned her maid and went into the house where she lived on the Sabbath and her feast days. So, earlier in the chapter it said that she had a tent that she put on the roof and that she fasted always to serve God and pray to God. So this is a very godly woman. So hopefully God will hear her prayers, right? Okay, and in those days, and even in the Catholics, like if a woman is a widow, we know that she was a widow, they normally wore all black. They wore a dress or something that if you saw that woman, you knew automatically she was a widow. So she changes her clothes to where you don't know that she's a widow anymore. So if we skip on down to chapter 5, and then she talks to her maid, and she gave her maid a flask of wine and a purse of oil, and filled a bag with grain and a cake of dried fruit and a loaf of bread. And all these she wrapped up together and gave them to her maid. Then they went out of the gate by the city of Bethuliah and found Uzziah standing there with the elders of the city, Chibris and Chemnes, and they saw her, and her face would change, and her clothing would change. And they told her, "May the God of our father grant you favor and fulfill your pursuits to the exaltation of the sons of Israel and the glory of Jerusalem." She bowed down to God and said to them, "Order the gates of the city to be opened, and I will go out to fulfill the words you spoke with me." They commanded the young men to open the gates, and as she had requested, and so they did, and Judith went out along with her maid and the men. And the city watched her until she went down the mountain and crossed the valley until they could no longer see her. And I'm sure they were praying too, because she was the only hope that they had. You know? They watched her leave, and if this doesn't work, they're in a very bad situation. You know? The women traveled straight through the valley, and an Assyrian patrol met her, and they seized her and asked her, "Why are you, and who are you, and where are you coming from, and where are you going?" She replied, "I am a daughter of the Hebrews, and I am fleeing from them because they are about to be given over to you to be devoured. I have come to see Holofernes, the commander of your forces, to give him an accurate report. I will show him the way he can go out and take all the hill country captive without losing the body or the life of any of his men." And as the men listened to her, so what basically happened is that she left the city, and then the Syrians, when you're in war, you always have a patrol going around your headquarters so that the enemy can't sneak up on you. A lot of times they'll have two patrols. Back then they probably had horses, but like when you're in an army, they'll put somebody going, walking around, and they'll put somebody walking around the other way, and you intersect about every 10 or 15 minutes to make sure that you report back what's going on, if you see anything. And then they found this woman and her maid, and they asked her, "What are you doing?" And she said that her people are going to be delivered over to their hand, and she basically wants to come help, yeah? And then the men that were patrolling said, "Don't worry, you have spared your life by hastening to come down to the Lord. Now come with us to this tent, and we will escort you to him, to deliver you to him. When you stand before him, do not be faint-hearted, but report to him just as you said, for he will treat you well." They then chose 100 men from among them to escort her and her maid, and they brought them to Holofernes' tent. Then came about quiet and emotion throughout the entire camp, for the rumor of her quickly spread among the tents. They came and gathered around her, and as she stood outside the tent of Holofernes, while they announced her presence to him, so basically what happened is now that she's in the camp, everybody like started talking. They're like, "Okay, we're going to defeat Israel. We're going to defeat Israel. One of the women have come to help us to defeat Israel." So it just really spread around the whole army. And this was hundreds of thousands of people that was on the march. And everybody's excited. Everybody wants to see this woman. I'm sure they were like all crowd together to see her. And so right now she's standing outside the tent like the commander of the army. And then in chapter 20, it says, "Then those guarding Holofernes and all her servants came out and led her into the tent. Holofernes was lying on his couch under the canopy of purple and gold emeralds and other precious stones." And they said, yes, I mean, from my understanding of that, he was like, he was just surrounded by diamonds and emeralds and gold and, just extreme riches, you know? And when they told him of her being there, he came out, preceded by silver lamps, to the entrance of the tent. And when Judith came in before him and his servants, they were taken by the beauty of her face. She prostrated herself, paying homage to him, but his servants lifted her up. So basically, she came in, and right now we're at the point where she's left Israel, she's left the compound of the city, she's went into Holofernes, and now we're going to see what he has to say. Are there any questions about this? Okay, so your assignment for next week and for the big boys, it's going to be somebody that was an underdog. You understand what an underdog is? Somebody that probably couldn't win or wasn't supposed to win, and that God helped them, or Israel helped them in the Bible, or it could be somebody else, and they came out on top. Yeah? So, like, an example would be Judith, or another example would be, like, David and Goliath. Somebody that wasn't supposed to win, that trusted in God, and that they won. Yeah? Okay, so y'all can go ahead and do your assignment.
This week we're supposed to think about or bring an example about someone who prayed to God and God answered them. And mine was that there was a woman that lived in Shunem, and she didn't have any children, but she had wished for one all her life. And that Elijah was one of her friends, and one time they built a room on top of their house so that Elijah could come and stay for the night. And when the next time Elijah came, he asked them what they wanted most, and then he told them that at that time the next year they were going to have a son. When Moses was leading the children of Israel out of Egypt, they got really thirsty because there was no water. And Moses prayed to God, and God told him to go hit the rock before the Israelites, and he did, and they got water.
When there hadn't been water for rain for a long time in Israel, and they were just really poor, then Elijah went up on Mount Carmel and prayed to God that he would send water.
We had the same assignment as the younger boys, and I got in First Kingdoms where it talks about Hannah was asking for a child, and she asked God, and finally he gave her one, and she gave him back to the temple, or gave him back to God to serve in the temple.
In this book, there was a story about these people, and the Russian army was going through, taking out people they didn't want. And they prayed that God would make a way to spare them. And then it snowed real deep that night, and the Russians weren't able to see their house. They passed by.
I thought about the Israelites when they were in bondage to the Egyptians, and they were praying to the Lord to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and then Moses came and led them out of Egypt.
A couple hundred years ago, there was an Amish family, and they heard that there was a bunch of Indians that were going to come through and take out all the white settlers around there, and they were praying that they'd be spared, and at night they let the door unlocked, and at night, the next morning, they woke up and they were all fine, but the Indians had passed them by, but all the other houses were burnt down.
Peter got arrested and put in prison, and the next day he was going to be taken out and probably killed, and a whole lot of Christians were praying for him in Mary's house, and then an angel came and shone a light and in the cell, and the chains fell off of him, and he walked out. And then he went to the house, to Mary's house, and a servant named Rhoda came out, and she was so excited that she didn't even open the door, and they didn't even believe that he had gotten let out of prison. But then they all rejoiced because he had.
Hezekiah in the the king of Judah, he was getting real sick at the end of his life, or it was near the end of his life, he was getting sick, and he prayed for more life, and God heard his prayer, and he was humbled and got given another 15 years of life.
And third Maccabees, the Jews had gotten captured by the enemy, and the king had them in one place and had the army right there, and they were going to watch as the elephants destroyed them. They had a whole bunch of elephants there, and it was a ways away. So when they let the elephants loose to go and trample them, the people started seeing dust, and they just started praying, and one man, Eliezer, prayed, and then when he finished praying, the elephants turned around and went toward and was starting to trample all the army of the enemy, and the king's mind was changed, and he was saying that all his people were against him, and then the Jews were saved that way.
I was just going to read a little bit in John 17, some verses I've always loved very much. And John 17, verse 6, I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. For I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I pray for them, I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours, and all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me. And then verse 20, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, through the apostles' word. And that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. And I think it's a blessing to think about how that this prayer of our Lord is coming true, or it's being answered today, and it's a blessing to be with you, brothers and sisters, with this unity that the Lord is talking about. And then I was thinking about in Acts how when the church was being born after Christ died and raised, the Holy Spirit was given to the Jews first, and then the Gentiles. And I read about Cornelius and how he was a man who prayed to God, and he did alms to the poor, and God recognized that, and recognized that his desire was toward God, and so he had the blessing of being the first, him and his household and his friends were the first Gentiles to actually hear the gospel and receive the Spirit as the Jews did. I just thought that was a blessing.
And Joseph, when he was in prison,
for doing or interpret the butchers and the wine tasters' dreams, and he asked the wine taster if he would tell the king about him, and he forgot him for 2 years, and God answered his prayer and got him out of jail.
When those children of Israel was on the way to Canaan, when they was thirsty, and when the children asked God for water, Moses prayed and God gave them water.